in 1940, a woman wrote a letter to the Nugget. I don't know if it was the Nugget. No, she wrote a letter to Tillicum, to the Tillicum people. And she was writing for, a young kid. She wanted the Tillicum to give this kid a camping experience. And he was the kind of kid that he got kicked around, and I guess maybe Children's Aid Society or something put him for adoption. He's an orphan. And this letter is absolutely amazing. It's not very long. She's pleading with the people, please call him. You won't be sorry, and stuff like that. When I read that about 8 years ago, I almost started to cry. It was such, and you know, that's the kind of thing that would pull on the heartstrings. And you know, it goes, 1940. I mean, we're talking 80 odd years ago. And so I think I'd like to share that with you.
Okay.
It's certainly a part of, it certainly explained. Tillicum was a place where kids that wouldn't normally have a chance to have a summer experience got a chance to have a summer experience. And it was a bunch of groups. It wasn't just the Rotary. I mean, when this thing started with Jim Nightingale and Edith Palmer, I think they owned the property, but all kinds of organizations were there. CGIT, Lions Club, and the Rotary. What they had here at that time was something called Boys Work. This was throughout Canada. Ontario and Canada was each community, or a lot of communities, had a Boys Work board, and they were promoting citizenship with young people. The churches were very involved. Trinity Church here was very involved in this. They had two groups of boys. They had the Tuxies and the Trail Rangers. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
The Tuxies and the Trail Rangers. And the Trail Rangers were I'm going to say 12 to 15 years old, and the Tuxies were 15 to 18, or you must remember at this time, we're talking the 20s, when a 14-year-old would go to work, and there were a lot of, what they wanted to do, this Boys Work Board, the local one, and the provincial and the national one, they wanted to prepare kids for work, and the North Bay camp, Camp Tillicum, was one of the best camps in Canada for the summer experience. I think it was voted third or something like that. But I was, interestingly enough, I've been following a fella from North Bay who ended up in Alberta in 1915, and he had a big job there. And I see that the boys' work was really, really big out in Edmonton. And it was, Taylor Statton was one of the big guys in boys' work. You've heard of Taylor Statton camps, and in Muskoka, Taylor Statton came to North Bay, and of course we've got T.M. Palmer, who was president of Ontario's Boys Work Ontario in 1931. So this Boys Work and these Tuxies stands for trust something Jesus in service. You know, it's got a there are a couple of meanings for tuxies, but I found that fascinating. I've always known about tuxies and trail rangers, but
how do you spell tuxies?
T-U-X-I-S.
Oh, okay.
Tuxies and trail rangers, and it's a boys' work board. There was a local boys' work board. One of the high school principals was on it, and here again I'm talking about the 30s, and well-known people in North Bay, and this whole movement. I mean, it was, you know, when the church sent some of these kids to Camp Tillicum, I noticed that one of the things that they had to bring besides a change of clothes, because they'd stay overnight or maybe for a week, they had to bring a Bible. And I remember Spiro Lucadellis years ago saying that in the 50s, the thing that kind of ruled your life was the British Empire and the Bible. And, you know, the churches were so, you know, the power of the collar, as they say, in those days was really, I mean, did they ever have us over the barrel? those churches, they ran everything. I mean, the morality, the everything was, you know, you had to conform and you didn't get out of line. So
community.
yeah. So it's so Tillicum was a home for, you know, they'd set the agenda for the summer. I mean, you know, the CGIT has it for 4 days, and Trinity Church has it for 4 days, St. Andrews and their kids, and then the Rotary would have it for a week or 10 days. They'd find kids and they'd bring them there, and then at the end they'd have a banquet and all the members would go out, and it was a great thing. Holy jeez. I mean, to think that they were going to, they you know, we wanted to sell the bloody thing at one stage, and my God, we were, you know, a few of us were really opposed to that, because we've got it as a trust, and you know, that's supposed to go on forever, and I just hope that in the future, with the connection with the Y, though, I think is going to back us up. It's going to be, there's some sustainability there, and
because, yeah, it seems like it's getting even stronger. Yeah,
because you know in the past we've had members that were really keen on it, and they used to run it, and they used to organize it, and you know. It's a different time now. People aren't prepared to put in that volunteer time like that, and so you got to partner with someone. We got our charter on June the 6th, 1923, from the Toronto Club. A very interesting story. Very interesting story.
What can you tell me about that?
Okay. What happens is that Rotary is trying to expand, and in, I'm going to say 1922, they got no clubs in this part of the country. And somebody from Rotary gets in touch with a man by the name of A.J. Young. A.J. Young at National Grocers. He was in the mining. He was big political liberal. And had a brother called Cyril, who was very well known in Northern Ontario too. So A.J. Young, they had their plant, their office, right across from the bus terminal.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that National Grocers building there?
And yes.
What's this? The dentist bought it. The dentist bought it. And it's still going, but it's changed a little bit.
Yeah, Rod Johnston?
So what happened is this guy, it might have been Russell, a man by the name of Russell Kelly, who had made his money in the mining in Cobalt, but lived in Hamilton. He was a Rotarian, and so got in touch with Young and got in touch with Young was with J.H. McDonald, who was the mayor. He's one of the bright lights of North Bay. He was the mayor in 22, 23, and 25 when we got our charter. So they were going to Ottawa, and that's where this guy Kelly met Young and McDonald. And so he asked them. Apparently, the Lions Club was trying to start in North Bay, and he says, "Well, don't go for the Lions Club. Go for us." So anyway, the CPR general superintendent for the Lake Superior region was a man by the name of William Merton Neal, N-E-A-L. And he had been a member of the Toronto Club. So he started to promote the Rotary in North Bay in early 1923. And he got a fantastic group of people together. There were 25 of them, and they met and they agreed to start a club. And they had their first meeting on the 17th of May, and then on they set a charter night for June the 6th, and about 14 Rotarians from Toronto. And the president of the Hamilton Club came up on the overnight train, the Northlander. They got here on the 23rd, which might have been on the 6th, which might have been a Wednesday. I can't remember. Anyway, they got here in the morning, and the North Bay Rotarians they took them out. They took them to Trout Lake, and they took them all over the place. Had a great time. Then they had their dinner at the Colgan Little Hall. Don't know if you know where the Colgan Little Hall is. It's right across the street from where Gary Gardner is starting a restaurant.
Oh yeah,
and was built in. It was already. They had a hall there, and then 1915 they built a new hall, the Colgan Little Hall. Colgan was worked for the city. He was the director of works or something like. They had been worked on the CPR. I don't know who Little was. It was a beautiful building, and they had a banquet there, about 60 people. And the 25 Rotarians, and that's the way it got started. And you know, the guy named Dudley, who was a dentist, became the first president. And they went immediately into young kids' work. And the big thing that they did, there's two signature programs that the Rotary Club has had that started at that time. Basically, and that one is their crippled children's clinic,
mm-hmm.
which they ran clinics for with a man by the name of R.I. Harris, who was an orthopedic surgeon. But he had lived in North Bay, and his brother Reg had Harris Drugstore later, much later, had Harris Drugstore. So Reg Harris and the and a local doctor, Duncan Campbell, a well-known gruffy guy, but a really good doctor. And what they did was they ran these clinics, and it was for free. I mean, in those days, you paid the doctor for any service that you had. Mm-hmm. So these guys did this for nothing. And what they did was the Rotarians would go around. Each Rotarian was responsible for finding some young kid who was deformed and couldn't walk or you know, somebody I just read last night about one of the kids that they looked after had a hair lip, and they, you know, I mean, this wasn't really their bag, but they did it. So what they did was Harris would come up here once a year, and he'd run a clinic, and then those kids that needed help would be sent down to Sick Kids Hospital. And of course, one of the ways that they would get there was George W. Lee, who was the chairman of the Temiskaming Railway. He'd take them down in his private car. And we see going down to Toronto, he'd take the kids down, and then the Toronto Rotarians would meet him at the station, and then they would take him to the hospital. So there was, you know, talk about synergy, that the synergy worked there. So that went on, and then, of course, at the same time, they started to take the kids out to Tillicum, and then, you know, Edith Palmer, one of the owners, you know, they, and Nightingale, they turned that over in 1948-49 to the Rotary Club, because they were going to give it to Trinity Church, Tillicum, but they thought, oh, well, you can't, they wouldn't be able to sustain it, but give it to the Rotarians. And, of course, they had to form a separate corporation because the service club can't own a property like that. So they took about six of the really top-notch Rotarians, and they formed the corporate board, and, you know, it's gone on forever. So
when was that? But, what year was that when they started Tillicum?
Tillicum probably started in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there was that Nightingale was he was big in the scouting movement, and he's looking for a place for the scouts. They looked at Trout Lake, they looked at, you know, a few lakes around here, and he finally found this property on, you know, which is now the Tillicum property, but it's at Deepwater Point, and that was, the property was owned by the CNR, because when the Georgian Bay Canal was going to be coming, this was going to be the CNR port. It was deep water, and this was going to be where they were going to, you know, probably have silos for wheat and, you know, whatever they had, and then where they would transport things to the CNR. But that never happened. So Nightingale has this property. He knows a farmer out there, blah, blah, blah. So they start to go there 1 year, just, you know, outdoor under canvas. And then Nightingale thought, geez, we should buy this property if we can. He finds out who owns it. He finds out it's the CNR. So he writes to the guy in Montreal who's in charge. I forget his name. I probably have his name. And it turns out that this guy is big in scouting. And the guy in the Montreal guy is big in scouting. So he and Nightingale get along famously. And that's how they bought it. That's how they got it for a very good, very good price. And so that's the background there. That's in 28. And then they started to take kids out there. And, of course, at first they had to go by boat because there was no road. And then they finally cut a road in the next couple of years or something. They cut it so that they could a horse and a, you know, not a buggy, but a, you know, the stuff that they could cart all this stuff out to put their tents up. And so that's the way it got going. And of course it was Edith Palmer, who was the wife of, she was a Ross. E.W. Ross was a jeweler here in North Bay in the turn of the century. Lived kitty corner from the city hall. That's where Jimmy Marmino lived. I don't know if you knew Jim, if you knew Jim Marmino, who died a couple of years ago, but Jim lived there at the end. And so that's where E.W. Ross is. And so T.M. Palmer, I know, I went to school with T.M. Palmer's daughter, who's still alive in London. And I used to see her once a year. I used to go to a function in London, but I haven't, you know, pandemic, I haven't been going. But so, yeah, so, and Palmer, T.M. Palmer, a jeweler here, was really big in boys' work. I don't know how he got involved in that, but he was Trinity Church. Trinity Church was big in those days, and he was Trinity Church. And, so I heard a lot. I knew T.M. Palmer. He was in 53 and 57, he was the conservative candidate federally. And I'll never forget in 1957, I was working for the conservatives. I mean, I was young, but I was driving. And the night of the election, there was a, you know, kind of a victory party. We weren't going to win. No one was going to beat Jack Garland. Anyway, I get to the party early, and so T.M. Palmer is there, and he's talking to me, and he's thanking me profusely for driving people to the polls. I drove one person to the polls. He couldn't stop thanking me for that. I was almost embarrassed. I didn't want to say anything. But he was a mayor of North Bay in 1950. He was a great guy. He had jewelry stores in Sault Ste. Marie, Chapleau, all over the place. And Bob Carr, who was a lawyer, and the Trinity Church guy who knew him well, used to travel with him. He says he was the worst driver that ever, speeding, and you know everything, and he doesn't know how he lived anyway. Anyway, so that's Tillicum. Those two programs you talk about, the Rotary 100th anniversary. Those two programs. There were 40 others things that they've done, but those are the signature programs, really, and something that, you know, the people that did it should be so proud of what they accomplished and the social service that they provided in this area. It's just amazing. Anyway, that's too much.
It's a crazy legacy, eh? Like, it just...
Oh, yeah.
Generational change for families, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about the one main building that they had there, which is torn down now. And, you know, all the kids that went there, or a lot of the kids, they used to write their name on the ceiling and the walls, and it's famous for that. And, you know, you look at those names, and I don't know if they took, I presume they must have taken some pictures before they tore it down. It's the history of North Bay, you know. The Morelands are there, the, you know, well-known people, that kids that went to camp there. And you know, it's almost, you see occasionally on Facebook, someone say, oh yeah, I was, my father was at Tillicum. Actually, there's a lady that just died, Dorla Sari, and she was married, her husband died a few years ago, Ozzie Sari, worked for the ONR, and I remember seeing that, you know, in the 30s, Ozzie Sari was one of the campers there. So a lot of history. I mean, people, it's all forgotten, but it's part of us somewhere back there.
Well, you know what? They're creating new histories for young kids still, eh? So.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, and part of the reason they wanted, you know, I've got a little card here in the picture envelope, which says, it's an old card. It says, Trinity Boys and Young Men's Club requests the presence of yourself and Dad at their 8th annual father and son banquet at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, May the 8th, 1935, at Trinity School Room. And the speaker is Reverend G.S. Easton. Easton might have been St. Andrew's Church. And on the back, and this is just, it's just written in capital letters, very small capital letters, it says, Camp Purpose, to receive the heritage of fellowship from past campers and pass it on, adding to it our contribution, to adventure in new friendships, accepting duties gladly, using discipline to oil the machinery of living together, to acquire some new hobby or skill, and a vision of a more complete life to be built as we grow older. and somebody has written on it, 1936, accepted by council as the camp purpose in 1936. It'd be kind of neat, you know, that somebody would write that out, or, you know, like print it out and put that there for posterity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.